Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Camtek's second quarter 2014 results conference call. All participants are at present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. You should have all received by now the company's press release. If you have not received it, please contact Camtek's investor relations team at GK Investor Relations or view it in the news section of the company's website, www.camtek.co.il. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Ehud Helft of GK Investor Relations. Mr. Helft, would you like to begin?
Thank you, and good day to all of you. I would like to welcome all of you to Camtek's second quarter 2014 results conference call, and I would like also to thank Camtek's management for hosting this call. With us on the line today are Mr. Rafi Amit, Camtek's Chairman and CEO, and Mr. Moshe Eisenberg, Camtek's CFO. Rafi will discuss some of the recent development and will provide an overview of Camtek's strategy going forward. Moshe will discuss the financial results in the second quarter and the outlook for the third quarter. We'll then open the call to take your questions. Before we begin, I'd like to remind our listeners that certain information provided on this call are internal company estimates unless otherwise specified. This call also may contain forward-looking statements. These statements are only predictions and may change as time passes. Statements on this call are made as of today, and the company undertakes no obligation to update any of the forward-looking statements contained, whether as a result of new information, future events, changes in expectations, or otherwise. Investors are reminded that actual events or results may differ materially from those projected, including as a result of changing industry and market trends, reduced demand for services and products, and timely development of new services and products, and their adoption by the market, increased competition in the industry, and price reductions, as well as due to other risks identified in the company's filing with the SEC. Please note that the safe harbor statement in today's press release also cover the content of this conference call. In addition, during this call, certain non-GAAP financial measures will be discussed. These are used by management to make strategic decisions, forecast future results, and evaluate the company's current performance. Management believes that the presentation of non-GAAP financial measures is useful to investor understanding and assessment of the company's ongoing cooperation and prospects for the future. A full reconciliation of non-GAAP to GAAP financial measures is included in today's earnings release. I would like now to hand over the call to Rafi Amit, Camtek's Chairman and CEO. Rafi, go ahead, please.
Okay. Thank you, Ehud. Hello to everyone, and thank you for joining us. We are pleased with the result of the second quarter. Revenue were in line with our expectation and came in at $23.1 million, at the center of the guidance range, which was $22 million-$24 million for the quarter. We are also pleased with the high margin across the board, leading to a good level of net profitability in the quarter. Our non-GAAP operating income came in at $2.7 million, and non-GAAP net income at $2.3 million. I would like to now go into the details of each of our two main markets. The semiconductor inspection and metrology market, particularly in advanced packaging, continues to be solid, and all signs point to a strong year in 2014, with double-digit organic growth for our semiconductor business. We continue to invest in our growth in this business, and at SEMICON a few weeks ago, we launched and began sales of our next-generation semiconductor inspection and metrology platform, which we have named Eagle, designed to support OQC application through back-end market and especially for the advanced packaging segment. This is a milestone event, positioning our semiconductor product line with the latest cutting-edge inspection and metrology technology, and expand our total addressable markets in both 2D inspection and 3D metrology. We see the fast-growing advanced packaging market heavily reliant on advanced inspection and metrology to achieve the affordability and reliability required for the commercial success of 3D-IC. In the PCB market, our market position remains strong and our Phoenix platform continues to be perceived as the leading inspection tool in the industry. Our sales continue in line with our expectation and this market overall is stable. I would like to spend a few moments discussing the commercialization process of our 3D functional inkjet technology product for PCB solder mask application, a product which is now known as Griffon. Our two beta sites have been ongoing for a few months now. The results we are seeing are very good. We expect that these two machines will move into full production at these two customers, and our plans are very much on track. The more we run the machine in the production environment, as well as meeting with potential customers, the more confident we become in our belief that inkjet technology for solder mask will be the dominant technology in the PCB industry for years to come. During the fourth quarter, we expect to begin initial commercial Griffon installation. This means we would expect to see revenue from Griffon in 2015. We intend to strongly leverage our existing install base and marketing channels worldwide to sell this product. As we have said before, we expect that the sales cycle and the penetration process will be gradual as we are introducing a new and revolutionary solution to the marketplace. To summarize, I am very excited with regard to our future. As we move through 2014, and especially as we approach 2015 and beyond, I see tremendous potential for Camtek. I would now like to hand over to Moshe for a more detailed discussion of the financial results of the quarter. Moshe.
Thank you, Rafi. We are pleased with the results of the second quarter, showing revenue growth as well as good profitability. Revenues in the quarter were $23.2 million, in line with our guidance, and were up 4% over those of last year. The growth came primarily from our semiconductor business. Revenues from sales and services to the semiconductor industry were $15 million, representing 65% of our total revenues. Sales to the PCB business for the quarter were $8.2 million, representing 35% of our total revenues in the quarter. The geographic split of the revenues for the quarter was as follows. China was the strongest region, representing approximately 38% of overall revenues. Taiwan was 26%, Korea was 6%, and the rest of Asia was 17%. U.S. sales accounted for 10%, with the rest of the world remaining 3%. I will now summarize the rest of the financial results. Unless otherwise stated, I will summarize the rest of the results on a non-GAAP basis. The reconciliation between the GAAP and non-GAAP results appear in the table at the end of the press release issued earlier today. Gross profit for the quarter was $11.5 million. Representing a gross margin of 49.5%. This is compared with a gross margin of 44.5% in the second quarter of last year. I do note that the gross margin in the current quarter is particularly high, above the higher end of our normal range. The exceptional high gross margin is mainly due to a unique revenue mix in the quarter. Operating expenses in the quarter were $8.8 million. This is compared with $8.7 million in the second quarter of last year. R&D expenses were 15% of revenues versus 16% last year, while SG&A expenses were 23% of revenues, the same as last year. Looking ahead, I do note that we are expecting to increase our operating expenses in the coming quarters as we are increasing headcount, primarily in preparation for initial installation of our 3D functional inkjet technology product, Gryphon, towards the end of the year. I also note that the ongoing strength of the Israeli shekel versus the U.S. dollars continue to have a negative impact on our operating expenses across the board. Operating profit for the quarter was $2.7 million or 11.5% of revenues. This is compared with an operating income of $1.2 million in the second quarter of last year. Net income for the second quarter of 2014 was $2.3 million or $0.08 per share. This is compared to a net income of $1 million or $0.03 per share in the second quarter of last year. Net cash and cash equivalents and short-term deposits as of June 30, 2014, were $20 million. This is compared with $20.3 million as of June 30, 2013. We had a negative operating cash flow in the quarter of $3 million, mainly due to a timing of collections. During July, we have already collected a significant amount, and we don't see this as an issue. During the second quarter, we also increased inventory by $1 million. This was primarily due to the launch of two new products, the first one being the launch of the new semiconductor platform, the Eagle, and the second being the introduction of the 3D inkjet system, the Gryphon. In terms of guidance for the third quarter of 2014, we expect revenue at around the same level as those of the second quarter. The current run rate represents annual revenue of over $90 million in 2014 versus $85 million in 2013. Moreover, I note that the 2013 revenue included the contribution of a few million dollars of revenue from the Sela business line, which has significantly decreased this year as a result of our strategic decision to focus on other areas. We will now open the call for questions. Operator?
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star one. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star two. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. The first question is from Brett Pyra of B. Riley & Co.
Great. Thanks for taking my question. In your guidance, what would you expect each of the segments to do? Do you think semi can grow this quarter sequentially?
Basically, our guidance represents a flat quarter-over-quarter, and this actually reflecting flat revenue in both of our major markets, PCB and semiconductor.
Okay, great. Maybe just on the semiconductor side, can you just give us an update of what you think that your served available market is there, and just how fast are you seeing advanced packaging? When can we see TSV use come into play when your growth can really pick up?
Okay, maybe I can give you some information about it. Actually, we do not know exactly how fast is this growth and how it's going to happen. What we can see here, more and more supplier move to this technology, and everyone that just today consider purchasing system definitely would like to see a system that can meet his future demands, because I believe that this is, let's say, an evolution process of moving to TSV and to all this 3D IC. I can't tell you exactly if it's going to be 5%, 10%, 20%, or more percent. We also, based on survey and a lot of article about it, and most of them predict something like 18%-20% growth rate per year, starting from this year.
Okay, thanks. Maybe one more on the Gryphon side, and then I'll jump back into the queue. It seems like expectations as a whole are unchanged. Does that mean that your unit expectation outlook for calendar 15 is kind of unchanged?
Again, I'm not sure if I understood you well.
I think before you've given a unit expectation that you think that Griffin can hit in calendar 15. Is that unchanged, or are you providing any outlook for the year?
I think regarding the Griffin, we are meeting our expectation. We, as I explained, from technology point of view, we are ready for sales. Okay, the machine running production lot. We now, you know, focus on operation and building machines. So the first few machines that will be ready for sales will be ready by the beginning of Q4. This is why we can start installation, not before beginning of Q4. So this information, we gave it a few months ago, and we keep this schedule.
All right, thank you.
The next question is from Jay Srivatsa, Chardan Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Rafi, could you give us an update on what you're seeing in terms of demand for Eagle? I know you introduced it a few weeks ago. What has been the response from customers, and when do you start to see real meaningful shipments there?
Okay, what we can see, first of all, the Eagle running in one of our customer on production load day by day, and the results are very positive. And based on this, we already start the selling process. We sold few systems from the Eagle, and definitely most of our advanced customer, when they consider placing order for us, they would like to see the Eagle as their next product. And I would say that the main reason is the 3D capabilities in terms of throughput and accuracy. Because all the 3D IC, the TSV, this technology, the main issue is what we call micro bump. And today the demand is to go up to 2 micron height of bump. And it's not easy to get a million of bump per wafer and give it the precise results and in high throughput. So we proved that we can do it, and we do, the repeatability is excellent. So customers, if they right now placing order, they would like to have such a tool.
Okay. In terms of the guidance, it appears there seems to be clear indications that the semiconductor equipment cycle is on upturn, but your guidance seems to reflect more of a flat quarter. So can you help us understand what the disconnect is between what we're hearing in the market from what you're giving in terms of your own guidance?
Okay, I'm not sure what type of information you have, but we sell to the back-end market. Usually delivery time that in the back end could be sometimes 6 weeks, 8 weeks. So some customer delay their decision about when to buy, when to place order until the last minute. So right now it's based on booking that we have and what we call in the pipe, discussion with customers. Based on this, we can predict what is going to be, but we cannot do it for sure. And we always try to be, you know, conservative and to give what we know at this moment. So although the trend is for growth, but it's a matter of timing. Usually in the back end, they will not place order if they don't get the order from their end user. So this is like, you know, one depend on the other. And sometime we can see we get order, then they want delivery time in few weeks. So this is the way how our segment work. So I still believe that if you talk about an overall trend, definitely we also, in the yearly growth rate, we see about 20% growth. and this is nice, but we can see it's maybe in one quarter we can see more, the second quarter a little bit less. So eventually in the yearly level, I still feel that this is going to be the growth rate.
Fair enough. Last question for me. In terms of the Griffon, given some of the tests that you're running, what has been the feedback from the customers in terms of the product itself? And how does the Griffon compare with LDI that's being used pretty extensively in the industry? And what do you see as the switching costs that that your customers have to incur before they move over to the Griffon?
Okay. First of all, I would say that depending where do you see it. In general, the LDI right now doesn't fit solder mask application because the low energy. Usually, for solder mask application, you can see it mainly in Asia, in Japan. Some DI, it's called direct imaging, is ultraviolet, is not laser at all, because laser cannot provide the energy. But in general, you are right, because when customer use LDI for the external layers, definitely it cannot run the whole lot with a mask. It needs something like LDI or like DI, any tool that can solve the registration and alignment problem. In this case, LDI can do it, DI can do it, and our inkjet technology can do it. But when you go and try to compare the cost per side, so we are about 40% cost of LDI or DI or all this type of technology. This is from cost point of view. In addition to that, there are many more benefits that only this technology can provide. So customer can see it immediately and like it very much. I would say that the main obstacle, or what can, if we talk about risk, is how long it takes to the end user to accept the appearance. Because when you use printing or spraying or any other technique of applying solder mask, the texture is not the same as they used to see today. It's passed all the qualification and all the tests. But it's a matter of they used to see something, now they see a little bit not the same. They cannot see it with bare eyes, only by microscope. Some of them say, look, we like it very much. Some say, no, but it's not the same as we used to see. So this is what we call an education of the market. And this is why we said it may take time to convince end users to adopt this technology. But I'm so confident that eventually this technology will be the only technology because the all other benefit and because the functionality and also the appearance, we think it's very nice as well.
Very good. Last question for Moshe. In terms of OpEx and going forward, any CapEx expenditure, looks like you're guiding for some increase due to Griffon, and as you look at 2015, when you get into more of a formal launch of these products, what level of CapEx should we expect?
Level of CapEx or OpEx, you asked?
Well, both. Please give us both, if you could.
Okay. Generally speaking, we are gradually starting to increase mainly headcounts to support the launch and the start installation of the Griffon. I think you know the full impact will probably be fully materialized into 2015. Still early, but I would say it's probably between $1 to $2 million additional operating expenses on a yearly basis. As for CapEx, we don't see any material increase in capital expenditure. I think we've mentioned it last time in the conference call that if at all we will need some type of a solution for the ink. Production, not necessarily we will do it in-house, but we can use other solutions such as subcontractors that can produce the ink for us. So I don't see any significant increase in CapEx in 2015.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Krishna Shankar of Roth Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, congratulations on the results. With the initial good feedback on the Griffin products, can you give us some sense for how quickly the Griffin products could ramp in 2015, maybe a range for the number of units you may expect to ship in 2015?
Huh. The $1 million question. You know, this is a matter of, as I mentioned, we believe that as we said, we intend to start the selling process, meaning demo center, installation in few customer sites during the first quarter. And when we get more, I would say, sense about how long it takes to get qualification and acceptance by the end user. And when I said end users, it's not our direct customer like the PCB shops, it's their customers, okay? When we get some feeling how long it takes them to accept, to approve it, then we can know exactly how many systems we have to start building. In Israel, for example, in our two sites, we made demos to end users, and they like very much, and they already start running production lot, and they get samples, and it's go very well. So we have to do it in the U.S. as well. But there are about, you know, thousands of customers. And I would say that when few customers will accept it, it could be go very, very quick. So in general, I believe that by the end of this year, we know for sure if we can sell during 2015, 20 machines or 40 machines or 50 machines, okay? But we're preparing some inventory to start the process. But also I believe that all the long lead items, we also are going to place order. So we have to prepare ourselves for any direction or for any response depending on the trend of the market.
Okay. And then the Eagle product line for the semiconductor market, will that contribute most of the growth for 2015?
Yeah, in general, the semiconductor, we predict every year roughly like 20% growth rate in general, while the PCB inspection very solid. We don't see, because in general, as I mentioned, in the semiconductor, the driven for growth is technology change. Customer move from a package to different advanced packaging. And this advanced packaging need much more inspection tools. So this is why we see more demand and growth in this specific area. On the other end, PCB, the technology is very stable, very solid. You don't see any big revolution over there. So it depends on how many system, how many tablet, how many laptop the market need and buy. And usually it's a one-digit growth, not more than this. So this is why we don't see that the growth come from the PCB, unless we talk about the 3D inject. So this is, again, technology change. Technology-driven can go to two-digit growth. And if it's just organic growth, nothing special, it will be about 5%, 7% per year.
Great, thank you.
The next is a follow-up question from Brett Pira.
Great, thanks. Maybe just one more on your gross margins. In the outlook, would you expect them to pull back then to a more normalized mid 40% rate?
To be honest, you know, I would be very happy to see, you know, these kinds of margins in the following quarters. You know, it could happen, but this quarter was exceptionally high. again, it all depends on, you know, revenue mix and so this quarter was high. I don't see that, you know, for modeling purposes, I wouldn't take this as our gross margin moving forward. Most likely we will go back to the normal gross margin rate.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for your questions. There are no further questions at this time. Before I ask Mr. Amit to go ahead with his closing statement, I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available on Camtek's website, www.camtek.co.il, beginning tomorrow. Mr. Amit, would you like to make a concluding statement?
Okay, I would like to thank you for your continued interest in our business. I look forward to talking with you again next quarter. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you. This concludes the Camtek second quarter 2014 results conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.